Hello and welcome to Throwback Theater, the show that takes a look back at some overlooked and forgotten movies and other various weird memories that we have from when we were kids. Thank you so much for joining. My name is Eric Lutz, and as always, I have my three close friends with me here. I have Lee!
It's great to be here.
And Chris!
I'm here too. I like to think this is that weird section of the
Thank you.
The
I love being here.
I'm glad that two of you recognized how much time you were going to have. I'm going to say 98% of this podcast is me. I'm going to ramble about my thoughts. It's going to be a lot of politics.
I'll edit it out.
Then we just cut out the rest.
Eric eliminates all interjections from other people. Mm-hmm.
He has a mute button if you don't know this.
And I have a lot of thoughts about the feminist movement. Here we go. Today we're taking a look at the movie Bushwhacked, which is
speaking
a movie
of feminist movement.
Yeah. Which is a movie that I picked and I'd like to talk about. Have any of you guys seen this movie before?
You know what? I didn't think I ever heard of this, and then I was watching this. I'm like, I've seen this somewhere, and I don't know where.
Really?
So yes, I have. Okay. Seen
You've
this.
Done this a couple of times.
Yeah,
I don't think I saw it, and you're like, oh, I have memories of this.
I have memories of it somewhere.
I agree. It looked familiar to me watching it, but nothing that sparked any real memory.
I remember the bra scene.
Yeah, I remember the bra scene too. Right. Even though it's barely a scene, like it's barely a thing, but I remember that.
I was aware of this movie. I know that it existed. But no, this is that one of those ones that's like kind of escaped me of those like kind of like kid camp movies.
Yeah. So I had a friend, he's probably my oldest friend. We've had sort of like falling outs where we didn't talk to each other for a year and then came back together and then like whatever. So he's shout out to him. I don't want to say his name, unfortunately. But anyway, he had a lot of these movies.
Wait, so you don't want to say his name because you're currently fighting?
No.
Is he the doctor?
No. He's not the doctor. He lives out in Colorado and sells weed. He's
sounds like a good friend to have.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay. We watched a lot of these movies at his house. So some of them this is one of them. There's two that I remember. One of them being In the Army Now with Pauly Shore David Alan Greer, which has been on the list, I think. And the other one is a movie that I don't think I've ever talked about with you guys. You probably haven't heard of it. It's called Men in White.
Yes.
And you know about Men in White?
Yes.
It's a made-for-TV
movie
that's a parody of Men in Black where there's two guys that they're garbage men and like they discover.
I remember the scene of them just, they go to cut the cigars and the.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Because one of them, because it's a black guy and the white guy. Yeah. And the black guy's like, choose the bottom, spits it, and the other guy doesn't see him spitting, so he gets it, and he just starts eating the cigar because he doesn't know what it is.
What?
And he hates it.
Here's what I remember about this movie. Scary movie for Men in Black?
Sure, yeah. So, sort of. So here's what I remember from that movie.
1998. Oh my God, this movie has George Kennedy in it?
Yeah.
And M. Emmett Walsh?
Yes. So here's what I remember from.
Biff is the main guy.
Oh, I know.
Oh, he's the one. Yeah, he's the one guy. Yeah.
It has a 2.7 rating on IMDb.
Here's what I remember because it's made for TV. That they find the device for Men in Black that erases your memory, the neuralizer.
Yeah.
And so they're looking at it and they're like, and they say over it, they're like, what does this button do?
Is
I don't know. I don't know. Don't touch it. Boom. I don't know. What does this button do? I don't know. Don't touch it. Boom. But here's the joke about it. So that it fades. It goes to the commercial like that. It fades out. When it comes in from a commercial, it fades back in, and they're still doing it. And so that is the joke.
We rented that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I watched that on a DVD. Right.
Cut. We're going to go watch this, and we're going to review this.
It's a National Lampoon.
I remember the actual trailer for it on other DVDs, because it starts with like the MIB like things, and they have like the symbol, like the MIB, because like even in the trailer for the original MIB, Will Smith and Tommy Jones like kick the eye doors.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right. Yeah.
And then on this one, they just kind of walked in. And then when they kicked the door, Biff just like falls down. And he's like holding in. Just like just pulling him back in into the thing. And I remember that very well. Wow.
What do you think the tagline for Men in White?
We need to go talk to this movie.
I need to do this. This is a tab. We'll close it in a minute.
I have no idea.
No gravity, no oxygen, no brains. No problem.
Wow.
Men in White. National Lampoon's Men in White.
So keep that on your radar because that's going to come sooner than later, it seems.
Oh, my God.
So this is Bushwhacked, though. Bushwhacked is a movie.
How many other gems do you just up your sleeve?
Too many. Too many.
I'm happy that I knew that one. Yeah, I didn't watch that one.
I had no idea. I mean, we've never talked about this movie.
No, we have not.
I don't want to watch this movie. Please,
because I don't remember it. Yeah. Anyway, Bushwhacked is a movie that I remember and have not really thought about much, but HBO has it on right now, HBO Max, so that reminded me of it. So this as it has Daniel Stern, as you might have guessed, this was originally conceived to be a Home Alone spinoff.
I did read that.
Yes. Yeah, so his name is Max in this, and Home Alone, his name is Marv, and he's even said no, it's the same. He's playing the same character. This was like they couldn't get the rights or the permission or whatever. But this was originally perceived to be Marv from Home Alone.
This
spin-off.
Nor helps nor hurts this film. So
no, I know, but I just think it's interesting that that's how this was conceived.
Well, so this is coming off the coattails of the massive kind of underground success of Home Alone. And his character was him and Joe Pesci were the two. And he is fine in that movie and this movie.
Daniel Stern's great.
Yeah. My God, the writing in this movie is abominable.
Apparently, this was supposed to be like the start of like I guess what someone like Adam Sandler went on to do. Like he had like a multi-picture deal with the studio where they were gonna pump out a bunch of these like Daniel Stern like family comedies, and this one underperformed so poorly that they were just like, "Nah, we're not gonna make any more of these movies."
The weird lead
It's bad. It's poorly written, I think.
This is the concept of this is similar just in to Meet the Deedles, just in the sense of it's a fish out of water story where a guy, Daniel Stern, as Max, i.e. Marv.
What's his last name?
Oh, Gabelski?
It's something ski.
Too far off.
Maybe it's Grabowski? I don't know. He's kind of on the run from the law because he was framed for a crime and it becomes a camp counselor in the woods.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's like a super quick.
So this dude is a sleet. He's opens.
So unlikable from the beginning.
Oh yeah. 100%.
His intro is pretty great.
It opens with like the Saturday Night Fever thing where he's wearing like a polyester thing.
And they're playing the song. Right?
Yeah. Staying Alive or whatever by the Bee Gees. And he goes into a convenience store and gets snowballs, cigarettes, and a Diet Coke or something.
This is also the second movie in a row we've watched a character shove a Hostess treat into their mouth, like, disgustingly.
So this dude is just like a sweaty polyester suit wearing 90s greasy guy.
He's a delivery boy.
He's too cheap to pay for the bus. He's smoking cigarettes. He's like
a scumbag.
Sticking garbage in people's bags.
He's not a murderer. He's not a deviant, but he's a scumbag.
He's unlikable. Yeah.
He's unlikable.
Yeah. And so what even adds to that? So he's been getting paid on the side from a rich guy who doesn't really know much about
like connections
to basically.
No, because I wrote that in my things. So I was like, where the fuck is this money coming from? Because
is he a doctor?
I think he's just laundering money. Because basically the bad guy in this movie who's a rich piece of shit. I
know
him
as the doctor from Signs of the Lambs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, has been getting money via like UPS or whatever delivery company it is. Yeah, it doesn't seem like the best way to do money laundering or any crime, really.
Also, is it even possible to like request like a specific driver from a delivery company?
I don't think so.
The right person.
Mark Gagowski. This is the fifth time that they've been requesting you. And I'm like,
this is not a. It doesn't seem to be necessarily that a national thing. Seems to be like a smaller,
a private delivery company, or just grease palms.
Yeah, no, I think it seems to be just like a private delivery thing.
But also, he's been delivering the packages after hours for an extra $50.
He's an idiot.
Wouldn't it be less inconspicuous? I can't say it right now.
Inconspicuous.
There we go. To just have it delivered at random?
Yes.
Well, right. No, he wants him to...
He wants to frame him.
Yeah, he's setting up a framing device.
Sure. Because then when the FBI shows up...
He's the fall guy.
He's the fall guy. Yeah.
Right, so he goes there to deliver this package. The house is on fire, and the FBI shows up immediately But they also know his name. They're like, Grabowski.
Yes, they do.
You're under arrest.
Well,
for
that's why, because
this
like they know he's been going there consistently at the same time.
They are following him.
Right. Tight script.
Which this is a children's film.
He has my favorite line because I wrote it down because I like the exchange. It reminded me of a little bit of a Clue when they do the whole. You're trying to make me look stupid. You don't need my help. That's right. And they do a very similar thing because the cop shows up like, don't do anything stupid. And Daniel Sr. is like, try to stop me. And he just jumps out of the window.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Oh, because he ends up with their gun, right? He ends up with the FBI
yes,
guy's
he
gun.
Does. He does.
It
he
like
does.
Slides over. And he just like just picks it up by accident. And then he realizes like he's holding a gun and he's like,
don't do anything stupid. Yeah. Like, try to stop me and jumps out of the window.
That's a funny line.
There's two FBI guys. One of them is like super dumb and everything he says is like kind of funny to me.
Well, the one guy is Agent Palmer. Who's right. like the fat, a
I know him
guy,
as
John Polito.
I know him as DeFino from The Big Lebowski. He plays the same character.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's
like
a bit
every,
actor.
Yeah, he's a character actor. He always plays
as they
the sort
all
of,
are.
Well,
yeah.
The other guy who plays Agent McMurray, who's Tom Wood, I only
he's
found this.
Funny.
I don't know if it was a purposeful joke, but he plays like a more serious version of that character in The Fugitive and U.S. Marshals.
Mm. Okay.
And there's the Boy Scout yeah. master.
Right. So
best
so,
character
so,
in the
so,
movie.
Who is like, so, yes.
Wow.
I have a lot okay. to say about yeah. this dude in particular, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I just want to get to the thing. Yeah. I want to set this up to at least like the second act so that
who
people are following
this?
Along. I did. I picked this movie.
Because then we introduce the actual kids.
Right.
Right so after this.
They're
right.
relevant to the story.
Right. The kids don't have enough personality.
The kids suck.
Like, yeah.
And they didn't even do the thing where they at least try to be like, this is the nerdy one, and this is the black kid, and this is the sporty kid, and here's the girl.
We do have the nerdy one.
And there's the fat kid.
We do have the fat kid, and we do have the girl, and then there's kind of, there's two boys, two of the two main boys.
One of them has his hat backwards.
Right, exactly. That's the only one. One of them is like the younger one who kind of proves his worth, and then like, but the two main ones have no character at all, really.
And they don't even do the thing where like they set up where like there's some like personal whatever in their life that they need to overcome. Like, it's not like, oh
yes,
my dad doesn't pay attention to me, or my mom's always here, and then like their parents get involved, or Daniel Stern becomes a father figure. Like, they don't do any of that really.
I mean, that didn't bother me because mainly the fact is that I feel like I'm the only one that actually I enjoyed the kids in the movie.
Oh, I enjoyed most of the kids too. I just wish that the main two would have had
I agree that the main two, the ones that are supposedly the leads of mm-hmm. the kids, are the weakest one of the right. bunch.
It just bothered me the kids have no story arc at all. None
well,
of them.
I think
no,
that they're...
Well,
I
no, you're right. Because yeah, the nerdy, they're ginger kid.
I mean, I think all of them do, and especially the whole discussion that they hate the fact that their whole experience as Boy Scouts is that they're just doing it with... the one mom in someone's
in like
backyard.
A kitchen. Yeah.
Yes.
Which
like they're not doing
the mom,
any of the actual Boy Scouting stuff.
What's the mom's name, Chris? She was in the Leftovers is how I know her. She's in,
oh, wow.
she's been in so she's
oh,
been
yeah,
in Handmaid's
Dowd.
Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mrs. Patterson.
Yes, so she's been in a lot. So,
I didn't even realize that was Aunt Dowd. Wow.
Because they're just doing stuff in their kitchen, mom's like, I'm gonna call just the scouts and see if they'll send out someone. And they do, and they send out this hard ass guy,
Jack Eckerson,
who's great.
So this is sort of where the worlds collide.
Or is it Erickson? I'm sorry, I think it's Erickson. That's the character's name, by the way. Yeah, Jack Erickson.
Okay, so Daniel Stern goes into a convenience store where also this Erickson, where the camp counselor
leader
goes into.
Yeah, he's a scout leader, yeah.
Right. And stuff happens, and Daniel Stern steals his car.
Super glues him
to the car was driving.
Right here, this is where I start to like. This is where the movie got really sour for me.
Okay,
this is
the moment where it really
just
started.
Stop driving.
I was like, this is yeah. I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, just like just don't drive.
Like or just drive. Until the guy goes away and then stop the car.
He's like, yeah. I can't stop.
Well, not only does he glue his hands, he glues his chin to the top of the
right, but
wheel.
Daniel Turn gives him directions. He's like, just drive south until you hit Mexico or whatever. Yeah. And the guy complies. And I'm like, why would you keep driving?
Because he's a Boy Scout. Yeah, he's a Boy Scout.
It's not a rule. You're being held hostage.
Do you
know
Boy Scouts?
Gave him a rule, Chris.
Do you know Boy Scouts?
No, I was never a scout. I was cool.
Yeah, these people are drones.
Yeah.
No, you follow the rules.
These people are fucking sheep, all right? Don't you know?
What does he do with the store owner?
Nothing.
We know one
Eagle Scout.
The store
owner's the one who recognizes
way.
Him. The scout Damn. Guy doesn't even realize who he is.
I actually don't know that.
Okay. Yeah, but he just
one of Chris's favorites.
I think they all. All right, we'll
hey, wait, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
We know one Eagle Scout that we went to school with, and he's quite the meme around our.
Did he wear pants that zipped on and off? Like at
yeah,
the
I mean,
okay,
that's like a staple. Of
yeah, yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a utility.
He yeah,
easy
that makes
way,
sense
yeah.
now. So Daniel Stern gets into the scout,
which is a Humvee. Desert. It's the most inconspicuous vehicle or non inconspicuous vehicle.
Fair.
And it's painted. It says like Troop Ranger all over it. It's a giant fucking Humvee.
This basically where he is mistaken for the troop leader, and they're going to go up this trail that is conveniently also where he needs to go. So we actually sort of need to back up for a second there because
he's trying to get to Devil's Peak.
He's trying to get to Devil's Peak.
Why?
He calls.
It's vindication. There's another delivery supposed to go.
Oh, right.
Devil's
he finds out where the last delivery is supposed to go. Yeah. Okay.
So, and it's on the top of this mountain where there is a cabin that is also owned by this rich guy who now is supposed to be dead, but he doesn't think that the guy is dead or something like that.
Or he thinks whoever is actually responsible.
He thinks he's dead, but right. he's going to where the next delivery is because he can just get the guy who actually killed the guy right. that he's being framed for.
Right, that's his hunch. So,
because the first time that he sees the actual bad guy, he says, oh, you can tell them that you're not dead.
Right. Yeah. So this is the setup for the movie. And now he has all these kids under his possession and he's wanted for murder at this point. People are looking for him.
Yes.
And he's now in the woods with this scout troop,
which they find out about pretty quickly. And then they're like, oh, my God, he has hostages.
Right. Yes.
So but that leads me to, I think one of my biggest issues is like he is the main character of this story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for a kids movie, an ensemble movie of scouts and the guy with, the kid with glasses and the girl and the fat kid and all that stuff, the kids are normally the ones who are focused on. They come from a troubled youth or whatever. As a kid, that's what you're going to gravitate towards. And it's just like they were literally selling this on his namesake from like Home Alone.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about Daniel Stern?
Yes. And I have an issue with that watching it now.
By this point, he had also done like City Slickers.
Yeah, don't forget about City Slickers.
He had also been in and directed Rookie of the Year, which is a movie we may or may not cover on this podcast at some point. I like that movie.
Yeah.
But he directed that.
I also kind of think of this a little bit too, like an Ernest movie, where it's like the kids are kind of there, and by Ernest being Ernest.
Yeah, Jim Varney's giving you the comedy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't think the kids sort of change through his actions.
The parallel that I took... obviously, Ernest movies are close. It's the Camp Nowhere was the title that we did about a year or two ago. Maybe it's if that you know Christopher Lloyd, but this movie's creepier.
It is. It's because he's so scummy that like
no. It's the jokes and the birds and the bees references and all those things that don't
gross.
Need to be in this movie.
Oh, I thought that was funny.
That made me feel sticky
with the sexy doll.
I thought that was funny.
I thought it was funny as an adult man, but as a kid, I'm like this. This is a kid's movie.
I saw this as a kid, and I thought it was funny then.
That's weird.
I don't think that's that weird.
Afterwards, he has a smoke and watches Jay Leno.
I understood. Like, I didn't...
You understood?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize, like, he was as scummy as he was. But the joke to me when I was younger is that, like, I was aware that what he was saying was not what
there was a minute where I thought
is.
The joke was that it looked like he was masturbating in front of the kids. Because for a second, because the way that the camera's positioned is you can't see his hands at first. Mm-hmm. So it's just Daniel Stern vigorously moving his arms around being like, and then it's cutting to all the kids watching him like stare eyed. And then it comes back and he's lifting his like Barbie dolls that he's. Having intercourse with each other.
I thought that was really funny.
Not having a nostalgic vibe, this movie creeps me out.
Well, that and then also the sequence where he has all of the boys pee over the cliff and sing a song about their penis.
So weird. Same with the bra scene.
And they're peeing on a man, which is also fucking weird.
So back up a little bit. While they're going up the trail, the FBI agent DeFino, I don't know his real name, but the rounder one, and the camp counselor are going up together.
We keep calling him a camp counselor. He's a scoutmaster, goddammit. We're not in a fucking camp, Eric.
The camp counselor and the FBI agent are going up. For whatever reason, the FBI isn't sending teams or a helicopter or anything.
Well, that's because he's in on it.
Or yeah, he trackers. Knows. He knows.
Right, exactly.
He's going there to murder Daniel Stern. Right.
So
and the kids.
No,
he says murder these kids many times
afterward. I think it's after.
Yeah, once the kids start like helping out Daniel Stern, he's also okay with just whacking off all the kids. Bad term. He's gonna murder the children.
So meanwhile, they are pursuing Daniel Stern. I can't really remember. So the first thing he tries to do is abandon the kids and go into the woods where he gets lost and actually runs back into the kids. And it was like, oh, I was here the whole time.
Yeah, because he tells him he's going to observe them from the woods and to see how their scouting is going.
What happens after? Because I know there's a part with the bridge, and I feel like...
Which didn't like that at all, because they cross a very sketchy rope bridge, like via Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
And he's like...
Well, yeah, he gets a machete because he finds like the FBI guy and the troop master catch up with him.
I loved it.
I liked it. He threatens to kill the child.
Yeah. You sick bastard.
Yeah. Yes. No.
He's like, get across the bridge. I'm gonna cut this rope. And he's like, I can't do it. He's courage. Like, ah.
He does not kill the kid. And at any point,
this would terrify me.
As he should. That's the whole idea. Yeah. It is supposed to terrify you. That's what he's doing. He's forcing you into taking action into your fear.
That's not healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think this movie is supposed to teach you a healthy way of dealing with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I liked it. I mean, yes. It felt like
I have tonal issues with it.
Before, like, so around this time, once everyone figures out who he is, and the FBI gets involved, and they realize they have hostage, all the other parents show up for all the kids, and they're all looking at the main kid's mother, and they're like,
how
dare
you?
What is wrong with you? And you know what? They're fucking right. That guy pulled up and he's in a leather jacket with like smoking cigarette. Like clearly is not a scoutmaster. And she lets all the kids go with him. I was like, yeah, you're a fucking moron. Like,
I mean, I think that's what it is for me.
Brought him in.
This is where the movie for me, because tonally it's so seesaw where it's like, oh, it's grounded in reality. No, we're not. Oh yes. We're very grounded. Oh no, not at all.
I believe, I'm going to say this and immediately backtrack on it, but, writer maybe of Heavyweights. There was, I think that there was some connection to Heavyweights, which I think is like
really
the ultimate
camping.
What's that?
He really loves camping.
I mean, I think that's like well, the perfect summer child movie.
This movie's credited with four different writers.
Oh
so.
Shit! Okay,
that's never a good thing.
Yeah. So, but I mean, what I would like, Chris, because I want the kids to pick up that he's not their scout leader, like right away, and then like
to their advantage,
right? And then the
be
kids
like, oh, every scout leader knows that we always have a party every night, right. You know what I mean?
Is essentially an earnest movie, but
that's fair.
I'll give you that one.
But I kind of wanted that a little bit more because he's not dressed for it. He's smoking cigarettes. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and all the kids are like, oh, okay, that's cool. Tell me about the time you scaled Everest. And he's like, yeah, I was in the Alps.
No, he says no. He goes, it was a bitch.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, it was a bitch.
He says it was fudge.
Fudge and cold.
Yeah.
So he almost murders a child by cutting him off in the bridge, but he does so and gets away with it. But there's a lot of gaps in my memory even from 2 days ago.
kind of movie. It's a very gappy movie.
Why do the kids have to pee and why do they pee off the mountain?
They just have to pee.
People have to pee, Eric.
But they never address because the girl's like very much like forlorn because she's like over by the side. Like, I don't have a dick.
Yeah, she can't do what they're doing.
She also doesn't have like a lot to prove.
Her arc is, I just want to say her arc is the bra scene. That's,
Because
that's
the arc.
Well, they use her bra eventually as a slingshot. And then the one kid's like, it's almost like getting to second base. I'm like, no, it's not. It's nothing like that.
But they don't know.
Also, our bras.
No, they do. They've already been explained the birds and the bees.
But they didn't get it. You saw their faces.
Only cheap ones.
So, but she doesn't. They're all kind of grown when she shows up, but they all kind of seem to accept her right away. So there's no like real arc for her.
They don't take her directions at any like she is the smartest one of them in a lot of points, and every time she says the right thing they all just say and then you just go do the other thing.
That's true,
but I want to get back
idiots.
to Yes. Yeah. I want to go back to the peeing scene real fast. So they're all peeing off the mountain accidentally onto the people that are pursuing them. And there's like a chant.
He embraces the pee.
I love the chant.
He's like, that's not pee.
The chant is really funny.
Oh, yeah, because the guy down below is like, oh, it's the rain. It's so refreshing. And they're like, he's like, that's not
rain.
It's not rain. And but they all seem to know the chant. And it was like, hey, boys, get your willies, let it fly. And they're all like,
have you not been in the scouts?
But how do they both know? How does the scumbag criminal know the camp scout?
It's the creepy undertones of this movie. I'm telling you,
it was weird. That was the weirdest part for me, was that they all knew the words. I don't know. It wasn't even the peeing.
And they're
was
just
they
waving their dicks around in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're peeing as if they've never peed before.
They're peeing outside for the first time. Perhaps.
And they're arching it and just
But like the way
have you ever pee out of a cliff? It's kind of liberating.
I have peed off the Grand Canyon. I just want to say that.
Yeah, it's kind of leather.
Well, Chris, you're not the only one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But the way that it's also landing formed on that man.
Millions of years.
Yeah, Native Americans used to pee, and little by little, the ground eroded, and yeah, that's how we got the Grand Canyon. Most people don't know that.
True story.
They say the dinosaurs started to pee there.
then America's the kids somehow figure out.
You know what they call it, the Grand Canyon.
How do the kids figure out that he's not who he says he is?
So they have, this is pre-cell phones.
They have the radio. They got the radio.
So some kid has a little transistor radio.
They're talking about us.
They fix they create a radio because they have a scout book. And then the scout book.
Yeah, they make like a potato radio
But why do they want to do that? Or is it just like,
it's a nerdy kid.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes. And then they build up a radio. And then
he's like, look at this shit.
They tune in and they hear that they are apparently being kidnapped. Hostages. And they don't know about it.
And this guy's a wanted murderer.
Yes.
Because they call him Mad Max.
Mad Max Grabowski.
And the whole time, like I know you said, like if they found out sooner, they do have like hunches. They're like, this guy doesn't seem quite right.
Oh, you mean the guy in his fucking loafers?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Mom, you fucking idiot.
It was the 90s.
So then...
What does that mean? They had boots in the 90s. What are you talking about?
You guys are going to have to refresh
science checks out.
My memory. How do they respond and how do they...
All right, so
they attack him. How do they learn to accept him?
They don't attack him. So they're like, we're going to get killed. And so they concoct this tonic out of a canteen.
Oh, yeah.
And they put all their first aid shit.
They do try to
drug. We're going to put an ibuprofen with a NyQuil and a back and a muscle relaxer. And they're
just knock him out.
So there's this big climactic scene where like they hand it to him and he's like, I'm not thirsty. And they're like, drink it. And he's like, no. And he's like, drink it. And he's like, okay. And he drinks it. And then it just
then
probably
he likes it
because it's all amphetamines.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, woo. Yeah.
He's running down up the hill.
Someone falls and he like picks him up and he's like picking up the hill.
But you didn't like that.
That was like the best.
Okay.
Because that was the characters taking initiative and having like effort.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
But one of the only times, to be honest.
When does he. When does he talk to them and reveal himself?
So one of the kid goes, he trips and he's like, oh, what do you do? What are you doing? And he's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Scott.
That's right.
He's trying to fake it.
Yeah. And he's like, what did you call me? Yeah.
So then how do they, because they all go down on their knees at one point. They're like, please don't kill us.
It's because then the FBI agent comes around and starts trying to kill everybody.
That's right.
Like the
Italian guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he arrests the camp counselor.
Just always looks sweaty.
Yeah,
I've seen that guy in a number of things.
He's also in a suit in the mountains.
Yeah, right. So he handcuffs the camp counselor around a tree. Yeah. I'm going to call him a camp counselor this whole movie. Fuck you
that
guys.
That was a joke.
Yeah. But
scout leader.
But he eventually at the
climbs
end of the movie
it up. It's great.
He climbs up and around trees and is living like in trees for like a day and he goes around trees and
he is the funniest
down.
Part of this movie.
Yeah, he's great.
I know. Have you guys ever seen Slapshot?
No.
But he's one of like the players on the team and he's always just going like that Florida snatch.
But they have this whole chase scene in the woods that they do kind of what the Deedles, they have a whole chase in on the river. They all fall in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because they have a helicopter going around.
Because the youngest kid, who is dead now, I was looking up people. He had some health problems, and he died.
R.I.P.
The age of like 32 or so.
Yeah, because he saves everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah. seemed to have a
strong motherfucker.
Yeah, so he's like sort of like running through the woods or whatever, and he comes
this
out.
This is finally when
him.
Daniel Stern gets to be like kind of like redeemed, but it's like 3/4 of the way through the movie where you finally like start to like the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if we're talking about arcs for the kids, like they're sort of like, it's supposed to be like, oh, we accept the girl now because we can use her bra. Oh, we accept the little one now because he was able to save us. We accept the nerdy kid because he ran across a bridge. They don't do anything with the fat kid.
They're not strong.
No, I don't think that their arc is not accepting the other ones. It's the fact that they are then becoming real
scouts.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I admit that. I just think that they're a little weak is all.
I agree.
And so then they need to scale the rest of Devil's Peak.
Yes.
They climb it.
There's that great sequence where he's...
with the kid that keeps saying that his parents and himself scale like... K2 well, or Mount yeah, Everest.
I like that. That yeah. came out of nowhere.
No. He's been doing that from the beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the fat kid since the beginning was like...
He's been doing it from the beginning.
Kilimanjaro, like we climbed it. And everyone's like,
I didn't pick
are
him
you
on that.
Sure?
Oh, that's why, because he saves his climbing gear from that. They lose all their gear except that. He's like, no, my climbing gear. And he grabs it.
Takes it out, yeah.
And then they belay. Thank you so much.
Is that the word?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you not watch our previous movie, Meet the Deedles?
Yes. And then
I worked at Ascend Climbing Gym, Lucas.
Did you actually work there?
Sad.
Yeah, I was on the payroll.
Oh, well, okay. I thought you just did classes. Yeah.
But I love the sequence where he stretched over the land bridge and he's like, you have exactly 3 minutes and 20 seconds before your body weight gives out.
Oh, yeah. Let's keep talking about it.
See, those scenes were like big in like the trailer. So like
that's what I remember from the trailer.
That's like the shot of the movie.
Walking over him as a bridge.
Also, he could have tossed those kids and then jumped over. It's not that much of a
That's
gap.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, they also then they leave him hanging.
Yeah, and he somehow managed to get out of there.
Yeah,
he's very strong.
Or they came back for him because
or was the amphetamines?
No, but like, he does then again at the very end when he's like hanging on the tree to bring up the kid, and he's like. He's again like we just saw him like he could barely climb the mountain.
Can we talk about
like,
the
what is his stamina here to hold?
We are there literally at the climax.
Well, apparently
of the
before that too, I also read in the trivia that I guess like they put the kids through like a very like basic training course of like here's
but
how
not
to like
Daniel Stern.
Yeah, they were like, here's how to properly climb, here's how to do this, and like so it looked like a little good. And like Daniel Stern purposely was like, I don't want to do any of that because it's that way I look even more awkward when I'm with these kids who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, I'm getting drunk here. I don't like to do this.
So they get to the top of Devil's Peak, they find the cabin, and surprise, surprise, the guy who's there is the guy who's supposed to be dead.
And he already has his mother at
his
that point.
Yeah, and there's a mom and there's like,
yeah,
like
mom,
not
mom
jokes
up there.
Reinhardt Bragdon.
Wow,
Mr. Bragdon.
Yeah, I tried to write his name, which is very poor.
Yeah, I think the main kid's mom is she already up there?
She's a real estate agent.
She figures out
that property up there that is listed that she's been trying to sell, so there shouldn't be anybody living there. And she goes to the FBI, and they don't believe her, so she steals the scout leader's Humvee and drives up there herself. Because then there's also that one other that dad who's like you think is going to be. Part
the
of it,
off one.
Yeah, who but then is end up like being a big softy. Yeah. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, he's just like my first kid. I'm just really upset, and I don't know what to do.
You got it.
I nailed that. Yeah.
So the weird sequence is either the mom and him are about to be murdered at execution gunpoint at the end of the cliff.
Yeah,
and then the kid who is dead now.
Wait, hang on. What kid? Oh, because a kid launches over the railing.
Which, by the way, shot amazingly. I was like, holy shit. They do like a slow motion where he's like falling off a thing. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Not necessary.
He's able to survive because he holds onto like a tiny little branch.
We're talking like it is a crag and it's like the Grand Canyon. Yeah, no, and there's one green branch and he's hanging on it.
By the weight of that kid jumping on it, that fucking thing would have been...
So in this very short climax, the kid falls over. They're all like, wow, that was fucked up. And then he punches the bad guy and knocks his dentures out. has right, this okay, weird yeah, come
that's
up
a,
moment.
That's a whole thing too, because they're like, we found the dead guy's teeth.
Not relevant.
And he's like, yeah.
It is relevant.
Oh, it's not relevant.
It is relevant because they said that the only way that they figure out that the guy was dead is because his
and
teeth
And also they have
there.
It in like a baggie. Like his teeth are just God, in a baggie. Man. And I'm like, that's not how this works.
He was recognized by his teeth.
At $1 million a tooth, it had better been worth it.
I got. Also, I feel like $1 million a tooth to have your teeth pulled.
Veneers are like a grand a piece at most.
Yeah, but you can tell it's fake, man, when you see your dead body.
It feels,
I know
cheaper after it feels very Tim and Eric. There's a lot of like Tim and Eric things where it's about like taking out
so
your teeth.
So there's literally this like weird, like almost like matte background sequence where he's climbing out to rescue this kid on this like this palm tree of a branch.
Wait, what happens? To, oh, yeah, he knocks him out, right? Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I mean, he like...
What happens
like,
to the FBI guy, though? Because they're in a helicopter, right, at some
the
point?
Guy, the guy on the tree. The guy on the tree comes down.
The camp counselor.
Yeah. Oh, right.
He jumps
down.
And...
Great moment.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so he's out on not even the ledge,
yeah,
on like the rock.
And this is the climax. Like, he saves the kid. He pulls him to safety. They climb back up the rocks, and everyone's like, oh, we're going to arrest you. And he's like, no, he's the good guy. He actually was helping us this whole time, and they all yuck it up, and it's the ending.
No.
Well,
there's one more moment.
There's one more scene.
At the Boy Scouts like of America.
No, that's the yuck up part. Everyone gets Eagle Scouts at 10.
But it's funny. I did this part I enjoyed the most because Daniel Stern
one jerked off in there.
When they give him his like scout leader badge so that he can remain as their like troop leader, he is so excited. He's like, guys, I get to be your troop leader.
Yeah.
He's like really freaking out about it.
And you have to lead
all
of
freeze frames, and they're surfing into the sunset.
Well, he gave them a mission. He's like, your next assignment is to do this thing. And I wish I could remember because it's kind of memorable.
They're doing like a whole like 1 week at a park.
Yeah. And they're like, all right,
oh, yeah, man, the sequel
troop?
That never happened.
But he has to take all the kids.
Yeah, he has to take every like single child there. So it's like 100 kids he's supposed to take. And
it seems dangerous and irresponsible.
I'm sure there's more than one guy, but he's the one that's being now elected.
And that's bushwhacked.
All right, can I start?
Yeah, please.
All right, so I started off pretty harsh with the first episode with -4 with the Deedles. Spoiler if you haven't listened to that.
Spoiler for how I feel about Meet the Deedles. Sorry, everybody.
People are on the edge of their seat. What does he think about Meet the Deedles?
I gotta say, while not a -5, but once I'm gonna give it a -4.
Okay.
I was really creeped out by this movie. Like
can you give some precise? I mean, you talked about the peeing scene.
I don't think it's him as an actor. Like, I think that this character could have flourished of the era, written properly. The writing creeps me out.
What about the bear scene? So there's like a little bear, and he's like, "Oh, hey, little buddy."
That's earnesty.
I kind of forgot about it. That's a funny scene because he passes out. But they think he's playing
good
dead.
Way of playing
dead.
Just
like, wow, he's a master.
I wasn't talking about that bear.
Okay. Yeah. So,
I mean, and the thing is, this is supposed to be for kids, but the main character is this alcoholic polyester suit wearing
greasy. Like I would describe him as greasy.
Yeah. He's not likable in the same way that Ernest is. And so the tone is a killer for me. And the reason I'm not giving it a -5 is because it's interesting enough as a specimen to be like, this could have almost been a thing.
So is this a -4? Watch it because it's so bad. Like Meet the Deedles. What?
Yes.
Okay.
And I did like Meet the Deedles more.
Okay. So
this one just
like
is
a
gross.
-3.5.
So moving forward, we need to readjust Lee's scale.
Lee has an irony scale.
This one creeps me out. Is what I'm saying.
For Lee, we're gonna do a -10 to 0 scare. Yeah.
It was written bad, and it creeps me out.
All right, who wants to go next?
I'll go. That's fine. Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat with Lee. I don't know if I disliked it as much. I'm gonna give it a -3. I didn't enjoy watching this movie.
Okay,
I was bored.
Oh,
yeah. I got bored. Same thing. It has like the same runtime as our previous movie. It's like a clean 90 minutes. But it didn't do the things I wanted it to do. Like even if Daniel Stern had, if they had just made the effort where he like puts on the scout leader coat and hat and like that, like, and they're like, oh, you're the scout leader. He's like, oh yeah. Meanwhile, he's just on the lam trying to get out of the state.
So that's Meet the Deedles.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't trying to right. be a scout.
I understand. He wanted to run away. But the fact that like you have a mistaken identity of like that fucking guy, like that, I don't know. That feels lazy to me. Like they purposely point out that he's wearing fucking penny loafers and like a leather jacket with like an open collared
70s shirt.
Yeah, I don't buy that. Like this movie is supposed to be kind of grounded in reality, and that just like. I don't know. I kind of lose it there.
I mean, I think you're just also going with the fact that nowadays it's much easier for you to be like, oh, like you're saying that you're this person. You pull up your phone and it's like, no, you're not. And this is not the time and place that if someone would say that you are this person, like there's no way for you to check it necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, it would take a whole day for you to double check the state. Yeah. I enjoy a fish out of water story. Like that's all fine. And this is both of those. But it's not great. And then we did two movies that have similar... origins.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the other one more than I liked this one.
Okay. Well, I think I'd like to go and then I'll let you go. Yeah.
This movie makes Camp Nowhere look like a masterpiece because I think they're very similar stories.
Did we not all agree that Camp Nowhere was a masterpiece?
Camp Nowhere was fun.
No, I think I was pretty hard. I think I was harsh.
Well, yeah, I don't remember.
I just want to say.
Was your ironic version?
No. I just want to say after watching this movie, Christopher Lloyd in Camp Nowhere looks.
Okay, but Christopher Lloyd in Dennis the Menace is still creepier than.
Oh, well,
yeah. Right.
I mean, he is awful. That creeps me the fuck out.
Yeah.
I would like to give this movie a positive one.
A positive?
Positive one, because...
Well, this is Eric's pick. I mean, he has nostalgia for it. I do.
But I think the things that you think are creepy, I never once thought that they were creepy
at all. Not even, like, as an adult man?
Well, I think I talked about the peeing scene a little bit. I felt like that was a little bit out of place. But, no, I didn't think a single thing about this other than that was
That scene
was
only felt awkward creepy. Because of, like, the way that they shoot the little girl. I don't know.
I think I
thought it was creepy because
of
the chant and like how excited they were about pissing. Like that was kind of weird.
I mean, to be fair, I still get that excited when I get to pee.
So then
the
I guess it's not that weird.
I think it's weird that they concentrate on the girl having like penile envy.
They show her like once and she feels.
I don't think she has. No,
no
you,
she doesn't have penis.
No, yeah, you're putting this into her.
Am I projecting?
You are projecting.
Yeah. My own penis envy?
I'm with Chris.
No, you're projecting your penis envy.
I think that I like this movie because it was a lot more grounded in reality than Meet the Deedles was. This I felt like it's vanilla.
What is
I
mean, the there's bad guys. Plan. What is he doing?
Money laundering.
How? I don't remember. Like it's kind of explained, but I really couldn't.
He's
grasp
taking
it.
Money, probably from money laundering, and doing something wrong, faking his own death, and taking all the money.
Yes.
So
he's in cahoots with the guy from the FBI.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Okay. This to me is like a good Friday night pizza and movie sort of movie where it is a little bit thoughtless, mindless, but there was nothing I thought that was wrong. It didn't get too crazy in any direction. I mean, the craziest part is sometimes is like believing Daniel Stern just like playing with like a baby bear in a way where it's like clearly like this guy's an idiot. But I never once thought, I mean, even as a kid that like this guy's creepy and weird. Ooh, I don't like that. Like that was the joke of it. Like this guy is totally out of his depth. And like that's what was funny to me. And like there were parts that like I legitimately thought were like charming and amusing. I was not nearly as bored as it sounds like you were, Chris. I watched this movie on a Monday morning and had a good time.
Hell of a way to start the week.
Yeah. Maybe that explains a few things for going on this week. But yeah, I give it a positive one. Where
so you actually like someone was like, should I watch this or not, Eric? You're like, yes, watch this movie.
Well, you're putting it very defiantly. You're acting like I'm saying a five. I would be like, meh.
Do you like the title? I like the title.
Yeah,
I think
it's
funny.
I don't.
Title. You don't?
I
think
I
it's a funny title.
I think the title.
Would I tell someone to watch this movie? Probably not. But I would be like, if it was on, you might actually enjoy yourself with it.
See, this could be, but if this was done almost like School of Rock, I think it could be a better movie.
Yeah,
or School of Rock's kind of the same thing.
Or hell, give me Chevy Chase.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, School of Rock is Jack Black lying about who he is. It's fake identity.
Yeah.
I mean, now to be fair, he's kind of doing the Big Daddy thing where he's like pretending to be his friend without his friend's knowledge about it.
Right.
And he goes in and he has a group of kids that all have like their like kind of arcs. We like all those kids. Like those kids are very.
If this movie was Citizen Kane, I might like.
No, that's not fair. That's not the same.
But you're sort of like not actually like applying anything about School of Rock this.
No, I see what Chris is saying. It's the kids are likable and the character mentor has like a backstory.
If Daniel Stern had maybe like
empathy
gotten together with the mother and they had their own little romance.
Oh no, I would have hated that. You guys would have hated that too.
Of course they would have because of the character that's written as Daniel Stern. Like he's just so gross.
I do agree.
What are the redeemable qualities about the main character of this movie? That's what I want to know.
He doesn't want to murder Daniel children. Yeah. Like, oh wow, well, you're so high.
No, elevated. I think he's just a goofy enough guy and he's in his bad situation.
He's a poor man's Ernest.
His redeeming quality is at the end.
But Ernest is like lovable redeeming. And likes yes. kids.
That's why
and
I said
shit.
Poor man's.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Ernest is just an idiot.
Yes.
But lovable.
But he's an idiot.
But with a good heart.
It would be
Daniel Stern is not a good guy.
He's a scumbag.
He just doesn't want to murder children.
I don't think that he's a bad like, he's just like takes advantage of what the season that he's in, and then by the end of the movie, he just becomes he opens his heart to the kids. The fact that he doesn't kill the kid on the bridge, if he didn't give a shit, he would just walked away or just chop the fucking bridge down.
Well, he couldn't walk away because he did need to chop the bridge down.
But he didn't do it.
He does once the kid crosses.
Exactly.
That just makes him not a murderer of children. That's a good person.
If he's a bad person,
didn't murder the
why
child.
Why would you not kill okay, the hang on,
hang he's on. Still a bad hang person. On. That doesn't make hang you a on. Murderer. There's a difference between child murder and being a bad person.
Yeah, but have you never stole anything in your life, Chris?
Yes, I've stolen things.
Okay.
I didn't say I was a good person. I didn't say I was a good person.
Are you a bad person?
Probably. Yeah.
So I think we're Americans. I think there are degrees to a bad person.
Correct.
Right. So like, yeah, he was so, kind of.
Do you have a redeeming qualities?
Me personally,
yes.
Not really.
He doesn't. As a hour and a half protagonist, he's not worth this arc.
I think he was cutting corners because
what's
he's
his
like,
arc?
He's got nothing going on. Well, his arc is that he doesn't give because he's cutting corners in the city. He's stealing bus rides or whatever, and he learns.
He's a
sort
scumbag.
Of
does he stop yes. doing those things?
Oh, so if characters start as scumbags at the beginning of the movie,
does
just
every character that you watch have
time.
A character? Does every character has an arc? Of all the stories that you like, and you
good
watch
good cinema, yes,
no.
Okay, thank
James
you.
Bond is like not a character who changes.
Oh, I didn't know we were comparing James.
No. But if we're going to talk about like if the only story becomes good if the character has an
this
arc,
is a cash grab movie.
It doesn't matter if you're going to apply this rule. It
he
needs
has,
to apply to every
he has
single
an arc.
Movie you watch.
Okay,
he has
Ripley
an arc.
Ripley doesn't have an arc.
He could have fucked over those kids. Like he could have really left those kids. He could have done whatever.
You just left them to go camp and then walk away. He doesn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he saves
I didn't realize
the
bare minimum makes it an inspiring protagonist. That's all I got to say.
Oh, my God. I gave it a positive one. I'm not praising this movie. I'm not saying this is
positive
the best.
One.
A positive one is, meaning if this is on, you're not going to have the worst time with it.
Here's how I would have liked to see it different. Daniel Stern overhears the troop leader saying that he's taking kids up to the place where he needs to go. So Daniel Stern's like, oh, I'm going to actively pretend to be that person to have these kids lead me to where I need to
sure.
be. That would work. That'd be a little cleaner for me.
I think that'd be a better movie.
I enjoy it with the fact that he's just forced upon the fact that now he is in charge of these kids that he never wanted to be in charge of.
Would be the same thing. He'd be
it
using
is
them,
not
it,
the same he, thing. If he takes that fake identity.
But he doesn't know what he's in
willingly,
for. Same thing.
He's willing. No.
Yeah,
no
same thing.
Chris, if you walk into a room and say, oh yeah, just go to this house and take care of my dogs, and then there's two kids in there, you didn't sign up for it, but now you're in charge of two
either
kids.
Way, but I don't, like, if I went in like, oh, I'll just pretend to be their babysitter, and I went in, I know nothing about kids, and then it's the same situation.
It is not the same situation. No, it is not. If you're calling in Lucas, already knowing
I'm,
that you
I'm gonna,
want to be...
I'm going
to
bug you for a number here.
A one.
One.
I'll give it
okay.
a one.
Two ones.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll give it a one.
That's a spiteful one if I ever heard it.
No. I don't
he's
think there's
doing
anything
to spite us.
I was going to give it a positive from the get-go.
Yeah, I know, I'm kidding.
And because I think there is a difference between you willingly taking someone's identity and you unwillingly taking someone's identity, which is what happens with Daniel Stern. He does not want to take these kids up this hill. He does not want to pretend to take these kids up the hill so he can do something else. He just wants to get up the hill. And then when he's stopped by the cops, he has no other choice but to take these kids up the hill.
Well, it's almost
and
sort of
he's not an asshole
it's a
that he's going to just let these kids die up the hill.
Well, he realized when he goes in the woods, he realizes that he needs them.
Yes.
And then it flips where he realizes that they need him.
Yes.
To continue on.
Yeah. They both need each other to survive the end of this hike that they're already like too much into it.
I want to say I don't disagree with what you're saying. I just think from a taste perspective, it doesn't work.
Because I don't think, as you're saying, that he is like that the movie was gross. Is that what you said?
It creeps me out.
Creeps you out. I did not get any creepy vibes out of it. Like him trying to kill the kid by forcing him.
Can you understand why I feel a little creeped out by it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. I don't think that is in there. And if we watch most of the movies that we see, they all have these sex jokes in it. Because like every time any of these children, most of them, have
stuff
for the kids.
Yeah,
and then like, oh yeah, there's a sex joke for the parents that like,
Kids are involved in these sex jokes. Whereas like in Meet the Deedles, they do a sex joke, but like it has nothing to do with children.
Well, because I will say that Meet the Deedles is not necessarily a children's movie because there's no children's in it.
It's a Disney movie.
It's a family movie.
Sure.
It's a different thing. Like Toy Story is more of a children's movie.
I wouldn't say
movie.
That there's sex jokes in this movie either.
I agree. Besides the sex dolls.
There's the sex doll.
Yeah,
he tells us what sex is.
He's like, oh, yeah, baby. Oh.
Oh, I thought that was...
But again, I feel like...
That's the funniest part of this movie.
It's a little beyond subtle. Like, it's like, it's a little weird.
It would be funnier if you
remember that scene from a kid because I thought it was funny then.
I think that's why it's funny because like the kids are also like, what the fuck is this?
They actually, there's a Playboy in it.
Oh yeah, there is too. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, which the kids sneak in there.
That doesn't really bother me as much. It's more of his reaction to it, where he's like, "Oh yeah, oh, look at the honkers on this one." I'm like, "Oh, you don't need to talk like that in front of the kids,"
because he has no filter. I don't find it creepy at all.
Okay,
no, I don't. No, I. Yeah,
it would have been funnier if he used just a really poor analogy to describe sex, and it was just funny.
Yes, I agree. Because he didn't know anything about sex.
No, he didn't.
Sex.
He just that's recreates what he does it on with Saturday. Dolls and moans. It's gross. It's not an analogy.
Is that what you think sex is, Chris?
No, that's what he thinks it
exactly,
is.
Exactly, and that's why it's funny.
No, it would have been funny if he gives like an example that's like that's
a poor,
not
really
sex.
Bad analogy.
He's like, and then
that'd
the pizza
funny.
Guy comes, and he's like, extra sausage. He's like, that doesn't happen.
It's like, oh, you know how sometimes like you get... really hungry and all you really want is pizza, but then the pizza cut, and again he just jumbles it and it sounds awful.
I think this actually, the story that he described, that character did that.
Yeah, that's
gross.
Yeah, it's sort of,
I mean, Daniel Stern fucked a woman and then had a cigarette and watched Jay Leno.
So this is, I think, the difference. I think Lucas and I see his character and see that he's a scumbag.
Oh,
and
it's
because
he's authentic
funny.
About that. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's funny. What is not funny about this like piece of shit dude thinking?
It's funny.
Kids
it's
what he thinks.
It's funny. He's not a murderer. He still
funny
shouldn't
in this
be
movie.
Around children.
Yeah.
Well, this is not what the
children's film.
That's not what
children's film. You couldn't. This is not a church basement movie.
No, this is not a church basement movie. You're right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
He wants to watch this movie.
Did you want to watch a church basement movie?
It's kind of advertised as a church basement movie.
I feel like if you got everything that you wanted out of this movie, you would still hate it.
No, because I have an alternate pitch.
Okay.
Ooh,
yeah, here we go.
So, I like this.
I like when Lee's always like, but wait.
Yeah.
Whip it out the back pocket.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been watching a lot of documentaries on this topic.
I watch a lot of porn.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch a lot of porn. Later.
All right, so.
A lot of Daniel Stern porn. It's surprising how much is out there.
So keep Daniel Stern in this role. I'll keep it very brief. This movie is set in Germany post-World War II, before the outbreak.
Bushwacht.
Wait, are you going to say they're Nazi youths?
Can I finish my thing?
No, I'm here for it.
So they are American Cub Scouts, and this is like 1938 or whatever.
Are they like in the Alps?
Yeah, they're in like
Shut
the
up,
very
Chris.
Alps.
Sorry.
And they're having a great old time, but then they stumble upon Nazis in the mountains, and one of the Nazis dies, or excuse me, the camp counselor falls and dies, and one of the dudes who's hunting like Nazi gold becomes the scout leader, but then Nazis are also after the gold.
I'd watch this.
This
okay.
is a very different
Let me finish it. So instead of this weird dental mob guy, it's a Nazi who we like. He's a Nazi. We hate him. He can die. He can fall off a cliff. And this American... gold seeking dude becomes this faux Cub Scout leader, and they're patriotic and they kill Nazis. And at the, they escape right before the war starts.
Sure, I'd watch that movie. Well, that's
thank
a very
you so much,
different
Mr. Claus. I think we here at Paramount are trying to avoid Nazis in our family films. But I really appreciate
family
your
films with Nazis in. There's a ton. Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
There's already
How often do the Cubs go?
Sound of Music
to the Alps.
In the 30s?
No.
Today.
Wait a minute.
Today.
Did the Cubs
go to the Alps more
today.
Frequently in the 30s?
How often today the Cubs go to the Alps to hike?
I've
been watching a lot of World War II documentaries.
Today, how much they go? No, you just want to... Why do you need the kids there? The kids are... Like, those kids are literally... Like, they don't need to be there.
No, they're patriotic. They use, like, American... things.
No,
just,
how?
Yeah. What are the American
there's
things?
There's
a baseball
kid. You guys don't know what a slingshot is?
Like, this sounds bad. This sounds just like
it sounds great.
No,
it
sounds...
kid's got his Red Ryder BB guns.
Yes. They would never be in the airplane.
The fat kid loves
do you want to write this movie
with
me?
The fat kid loves Coca-Cola, and somehow the Nazi guy also loves Coca-Cola?
And that's how they bond.
All right, this is how we end this podcast. This is
wait. There's one Jewish kid on a bridge, and he's trying to cut it off.
I need a title.
This is bad.
I need a title.
Do you? I don't think you do.
Just
called Nazis on the Alps.
Bushwhacked. Bushwhacked.
With the two dots on top of the A. Bushwhacked. Bushwhacked. That's not a better pitch. All right,
I think we should probably leave. I think we
we reached the limit. This is it.
We can't get any worse, everyone.
We can get any worse.
You can do the same thing where it's a silhouette of like
just
a guy.
Just cut him now.
The Bridgman's got like a German helmet on. Walking across.
Okay. So,
saying that if he was just more racist, you like this movie more.
I think we need to hear from some other people on what they think about Bushwhacked, because I think we're really divided on the creepiness of Daniel Stern, and I think that's where a lot of our bias is coming. Yeah. I think we'll come to an understanding then with all five of our audience members.
Please rate, review, like, and subscribe.
Don't talk about Bushwhacked when you do that, though.
Copyrighted, first of all.
It's okay. We have 2 weeks till this episode comes out, so by that time, we'll have already pitched this to like every major distributor.
Netflix already will bought that one.
Yeah. All right, make sure you stick around for the trailer for next week's episode, and I think we still have some stickers left, so if you want one, please reach out to us, find us on all the social media stuff, or write to us at throwbacktheaterpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week. Thanks. Bye.
Attention, students. This is Principal Brinkley talking. I want to inform you all that I have a fat, saggy butt, which I like to scratch every hour on the hour.
Get ready for a recess movie so big.
Why, Principal Brinkley, sir. What a surprise.
It takes a theater to hold it.
Summer vacation, the ultimate recess.
They thought school was over.
It's a break-in! Erase the access code!
But the mystery was just beginning.
I am gonna get rid of recess.
No! Mom!
TJ, are you all right?
Those guys at the school, they're doing some kind of evil experiment.
That bonk on the head must have rattled your little brain.
But Mom!
You're feverish. You wait right here. I'll go get the baby thermometer and the petroleum jelly.
Okay, that right there, that was messed up.
Now, they're going to save the world, one playground at a time.
Get off our planet, alien scum! Ninjas!
I'm stuck! Curse these bodacious hips of mine! Randall, run back to my place and get the butter!
That part still grosses me out, sir.
Get him.
It's a recess unlike any you've ever experienced.
Psychedelic Principalia. It's party time.
The Barnett!
On February 16th, recess will never be the same again.
We're going in.
And no running in the halls!
Recess, school's out.
Dad!
TJ, did you run into the sliding glass door again?
Come back! Your mom's gonna want to take your temperature!
Coming only to theaters February 16th.